Hey, God bless you guys. Welcome to Summit Church Online. I'm Pastor Chris, and I am finishing up a four-part message series today. Really excited about this message, but I do want to encourage you, make sure to begin tuning in next week right on time. Don't miss a week because I'm going to do something that I haven't done in a very, very, very long time. Actually, I've only done it one other time, but you're going to have to tune in next week to find out what that is as we begin a brand new message series. Not going to tell you any more about it, but I will tell you it's incredibly timely and incredibly important. But before we do that, let's hop into what we've been talking about. So if you haven't been with us so far, make sure you go back, watch the prior three messages to this. You can get those right here on this website, www.mysummit.tv. So glad you guys are here with us today. Today's part four. In the next series and in the prior messages, we've been talking about how to move on to what's next in our life. And I think that's super, super important for all of us who feel stuck. And I think if you're normal, like all of us seem to be, then you feel stuck right now. You feel stuck in this circumstance that always seems to be changing, but stays the same all the time. It feels like we are trapped in a vacuum and we just can't wait to get out. So here's the question. What if we never get out of these circumstances? Or what if whatever circumstance is next is worse than what we're in right now? Then ask yourself this question. Is there anything better for me? Did God plan anything more meaningful, more important, and more purposeful for me than what we're doing right now in all of this? And I believe sincerely, because the word says so, that absolutely. God's got his highest and best waiting for each one of us. And it doesn't come 10 years from now. It doesn't come 5 months from now. It comes moments from now, depending on how we embrace what's next. And so today is about keeping the next right in front of us. So I was with my wife and a friend, and we saw this little road and decided to kind of take this dirt road, and we really didn't know where it was going to go, and it was a very steep uphill, and it kind of failed to become a road at one point, a little turned into a trail kind of, and I thought, man, if I take too many turns, I might not be able to get back on to the right path. So I was really intentional about keeping a clear path in front of me so that I knew where I was going and I knew that I could get back. So when it comes to discovering and embracing and experiencing places we haven't been before, we really do have to keep our eyes on what's in front of us. And if you believe that God has already paved that way for you, that God has already prepared that path for you, then you don't fear taking your eyes off that path. You don't really need to look to the left and right. You just need to lock in to what God's got for you and then move into that. And I think that that's what we're ready to do. So we're going to talk about three ways to really keep that path in front of you that leads you to your highest and best next. Okay, so grab your notes. If you don't already have them, you can open up your Summit Church app and follow along. To stay on the path to what's next, I have to decide every day. Every day, circle that in your notes, if you will, or highlight that or do something. By the way, your notes are printable if you go to the website. To decide to stay on the path, to stay on the path to what's next, I have to decide every day to, number one, use faith to turn an ordinary moment into an extraordinary moment. Use faith to turn an ordinary moment into an extraordinary moment. So this seems sort of like something a pastor would say, but I'm going to really, really, really encourage you to explore God's word. And I mean, as much of it as you can. A lot of people seem weirdly fearful to go into the Old Testament because maybe it seems dry and disconnected. But I want to tell you, New Testament, Old Testament are filled with stories of ordinary people, just like me and just like you, who are going through ordinary moments in their life. But those ordinary moments magically turn into extraordinary moments because they were able to attach faith in God, and God moved in and took an ordinary moment and it became extraordinary. And because it became extraordinary, it's worthy of our attention. We read it and we go, oh my gosh, I wish I could live a life of faith like that. But look at their lives. Look at the people who experience these moments. Look at all of it, and you're going to really see that God gave us all of these amazing stories of just ordinary people experiencing really ordinary moments that became extraordinary. Ordinary physical sickness or trouble with our family or conflict with an enemy, somebody who doesn't like us or maybe we don't like them, marriage trouble, emotional turmoil, a story where something extraordinary happens in these really ordinary moments simply because they chose the path of trusting God. They attached faith, something extraordinary, to an ordinary moment, and that became extraordinary. So I'm going to share a story with you. And this story is interesting because what it seems the story is about becomes different. And then you realize the subject, the real center of the story is something completely different. Okay, so this is in Matthew 14, 24 through 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land. For a strong wind had, they're in a boat, if you haven't caught on to that. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, a storm, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once, and he said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" So I'm going to rewind a little bit and go back to the beginning of that story. Jesus had instructed them to kind of go on. He was going to stay back and pray. So they got into a boat. That was very ordinary for them. They had been in a boat thousands of times before. Everyone in that time and in that region had been in boats since they were babies. They knew how to be in a boat. They knew how to get from one side of a lake or sea to the other. They had been in a boat thousands of times before. And then they experience a huge storm. And I got to be honest with you, that still is an ordinary moment for them. They had experienced storms before. You can't wait for perfect weather to get on a boat and cross the sea. So they had experienced storms before. That didn't mean, though, that the storm wasn't scary, that the storm wasn't terrifying, that it wasn't stressful, that it didn't cause them great anxiety. Just because it's ordinary doesn't mean that it doesn't cause incredible consternation in our life and discomfort in our life. So they were in the middle of what was very ordinary, being in a boat, being in a storm. That's the ordinary part of the story. And then it becomes extraordinary. Now, here's where it becomes extraordinary. We usually skip the part where Jesus is walking on water and we get straight to Peter because for some reason in our heads, we think that, well, yeah, of course Jesus walks on water. Well, yeah, he's God. But remember that Jesus did not do anything that we are not capable of doing ourselves using the same tools that Jesus used, and that was the power of the Holy Spirit and faith. Jesus had a fullness, a richness, a maturity of faith that enabled him to walk with confidence through that storm. He wasn't even in a boat, and Jesus was not afraid of the waves because Jesus knew if he could command that storm by walking on top of it, then the storm could do no damage to him. So here's an extraordinary moment in which Jesus is demonstrating the power of faith. That in and of itself was extraordinary. And listen, if Peter had never gotten out of the boat, it still would have been an extraordinary moment. Did you hear that? It still would have been extraordinary because his followers, his students, his disciples would have looked at Jesus and went, "This guy is exactly who he says he was. This is Jesus. He's clearly exactly who he says he is." And they would see the power of faith, and they would see the transformation that happens in somebody's life when they exercise faith in an ordinary moment. But now listen, here's where it becomes really, really extraordinary. For at least one of them, and it's that Peter looks at Jesus and decides he wants to experience and encounter the same faith that Jesus is walking in, literally walking in the water. And Peter decides to step out of the boat. And the only reason that Peter began to sink is because Peter began again to watch the waves instead of watch Jesus, his guardian of faith, his example of faith, his inspiration of faith. But I want to tell you this, that Peter never looked at a storm the same way again. He never looked at water the same way again. He never looked at Jesus the same way again. And this is most important, he never looked at himself the same way again, because he understood in that moment the power that faith had to transform the ordinary into the extraordinary. He now knew that he had the power of faith in his pocket. And I want to tell you this, you're never going to get what's next for you. You're never going to encounter the next best thing that God's got for you until you are willing to step out of the circumstance with faith and move from the ordinary into the extraordinary and see your life, listen, your health lifted up out of the water, your marriage lifted up out of the water, your children lifted up out of the water, your finances, your job, your depression, your mind, your future, your failures, everything that has held you back, everything that has kept you focused on the storm. Faith can take those ordinary things and elevate you. You don't leave the storm, you just get control over the storm. The storm stops affecting you. The storm stops drowning you. The storm stops causing fear and anxiety and doubt and hopelessness in your life. Listen to what Hebrews 11:6 says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith." I want you to hear this. Pleasing God is the key to getting God's will activated in your life. If you want your prayers answered, if you want God's will to be done in your life as it's done in heaven, faith is what activates all of that. It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Don't you want the rewards of God in your life? Sincerely seeking God in the most ordinary things in your life is what activates faith and trust that God can do extraordinary things in the most ordinary moment. Secondly is this, to stay on the path to what's next, I have to decide every day to, number two, use sacrifice to give up the things that are holding me back. Use sacrifice to give up the things that are holding me back. So let's stick with the boat for a second. Let's stick with water and let's stick with storms is sort of our analogy that we're going to hang out in for just a couple minutes. Each of us is in a boat, okay, symbolically. And that boat is our life. It's the sum, it's the walls of our life, the walls of that boat, the floor of that boat, the seats of that boat, right? This is sort of the life we've built for ourselves. And this is what we navigate through our circumstances, our life, our days, our nights, our marriages, everything that we are, this, the boat, our life is traveling through that. Now, your boat is either on course or it's not. Now, there's no in between. It's either going the right direction, and the right direction is what your boat has been designed for and where it's been designed to go. It's either going that direction or not. And it's either afloat or it's sinking. Now, it may not be sinking fast, but I'm going to tell you a boat that's sinking is still sinking. I had a fishing boat for a little while, and as I was shopping for them, I would notice that people would say, "It takes on a little water, but not too bad." And I used to think, I don't want any boat that takes on any water at all. They were sort of bragging it barely took on any water. But if you let a boat continue to take on barely any water, eventually that water will sink that boat. In our lives, there's no in between. Either you are not sinking or you are sinking. You see, your boat's supposed to behave like a boat, and a boat is supposed to be on top of the water and cut through the water and not take on the water, right? Because if you do, eventually you go under the water and you drown. Now, what if somebody came along and they said, hey, I see you taking on water. That's a big, big problem. And I'm going to tell you that the only way you're going to get out of taking on water is you're going to drown unless you get rid of the 14 suitcases that you brought along with you and the front load washer and dryer that you shoved into your boat, or the clawfoot bathtub that you couldn't live without that you decided you needed in your boat, or the golf clubs, or the collection of Starbucks mugs. You see, all of the things that have become important enough to us that we brought those along and we don't think we can take our journey without those things. Or the safe you keep all your money in, or all these relationships you just can't let go of, even though they're not only not contributing to moving your boat forward, they're dragging you down and helping sink the boat. And you say, nah, I like all my stuff. I want all my stuff. I want to go through life with stuff that I like. If I've got to go through storms, I want my Starbucks mug, and I want to be able to take a nice hot bath in my clawfoot bathtub, and I like my front load washer and dryer, and I like all of these friends, because if I've got to go through difficulties in life, I want to have these people to have fun with. I just have to figure out how to expand the walls of my boat a little bit more so it can all fit in. You see, we've got this weird way of convincing ourselves that the life we've chosen, that God is blessing that in an agreement with that. We can't imagine that God is calling us to give things up, even if, and especially if, those things are causing us to sink and drown and not move in the direction we're supposed to. We've got ourselves convinced that God is not a God who would call us to sacrifice. God's a God who calls us to blessing and increase. We just can't imagine that God is a God who wants us to sacrifice. Well, you might be disappointed then to hear Jesus say this, Luke 9:23. Jesus continued to say to all of them, any of you who want to be my follower must stop thinking about yourself and what you want. You must be willing to carry the cross that is given to you every day for following me. That is not a great picture of being a follower of Christ. Remember, Jesus hadn't yet gone to the cross, so the cross was not something that they had then imagined yet in the context of Jesus, but they understood what a cross was. They understood it was a tool of kind of punishment and consequence, and it was an ugly way to die. And here's what Jesus was really saying. My cross isn't your cross, but you will have to bear a cross. You see, Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. There was a purpose and a value in going to the cross. Because Jesus went to the cross, because he made the ultimate sacrifice and gave his life up on the cross, guess what? You and I enjoy the benefit of salvation. You and I don't need to take a cross to Calvary. We don't have to give up our lives for the salvation of humanity. That doesn't mean we're not required to make sacrifice, because if you want to accomplish the purpose and the will of God's destiny plan for your life, there has to be something you're willing to lay down at the feet of God, something that you want. Jesus did not want to go to the cross. If I'm guessing, Jesus wanted to live his life pain-free like you and I do or want. Jesus said, if there's any way that I don't have to do this, I'd like to not do it, but not my will, your will be done. You and I have to come to a place where we'll say, God, I don't want anything standing in the way of my calling to become who you want me to be, and I'll give it all up for you. Tell me what cross I need to carry. What thing do I need to sacrifice? Hebrews 13:15-16 says, through Jesus, let us keep offering to God, continually offering to God our own sacrifice specific to us. God's going to call your spouse to do something different than you, and you to do something different than your friend, and something different from me. Let's keep offering our own sacrifice, the praise of our lip that confess his name without ceasing. That is establishing God, God's authority, God's deity above everything we've come to idolize in our life. Our relationships, our finances, our political views, aspirations, and opinions, the things that we've prioritized and given our time, money, effort, and emotional strength to that have cheated God of our time given to him. Let's not neglect what is good and share what we have for those sacrifices also please God. In other words, God wants us to get into the mode and the mentality of sacrifice, giving up things continually to demonstrate that nothing stands between us and him. All right? Third and finally is this. To stay on the path to what's next, I have to decide every day to, number three, use the moments I am with someone to serve their needs. Now, this seems really simple. It seems really elementary. But sacrifice is not something that presents itself naturally to us. Let me say that again, or maybe say it in a different way. What I mean is that we see opportunities all the time to get ahead and get what we want and find things that we've been searching for. We almost never find ourselves drawn to ignoring our own wants and needs at the cost and the price of fulfilling someone else's needs, especially, right? Especially for someone we don't know, we don't care about, and that we can't get something back from them. But what if what's next for us, and I think this is what's next for us, is being more like Jesus? What if what's next for us is all about learning to be like him? Learning to be like him so that we can do what he does and so that we can experience the kind of life that Jesus had right here on earth that he demonstrated for us, a life where healing comes where he goes, a life where hope comes where he goes, a life where transformation and forgiveness and grace and mercy and tenderness and kindness and everything good that represented who God truly is, that goes where we go because we are like Jesus. Listen, when Jesus walked the earth, everyone misunderstood who God was. They thought of God as this wrathful, mean-spirited, condemning, angry grandpa in the sky that couldn't wait to strike them down. And God, while we were still yet sinners, far from him, sent Jesus, who ultimately gave his life so that we could be reconciled to God. He was here to change people's mind about who God is. Look around. Don't you think that the world is confused about who God is? About who Jesus is? You and I represent him. Matthew 20, 28 says this, "Be like the Son of Man. He did not come to be served. Instead, he came to serve others. He came to give his life as a price for setting many people free." Your life's going to shift gears when your priorities shift gears. Your life's going to take on a whole new tone and attitude when you take on a whole new tone and attitude. Listen, there are people around you right now who are annoying, who are the kind of people that you can't imagine yourself doing something loving and generous and sacrificial for, whose needs you could not care less about. People that you just think, God, I'll serve anyone, don't make me serve them. Can I tell you that that was the whole mode of Jesus's ministry? Is serving those who he knew in large part would reject him. Jesus poured himself into all of his disciples, even Peter, who denied him as Jesus was going to the cross, and Judas, who ultimately betrayed him. Yet Jesus didn't hold back. Jesus served them. He loved them. There's one story in the Bible where he washes the feet of his disciples, the most lowly, terrible job of the lowest servant in a household, when they would walk in with their feet caked with dirt and mud. and they would have to wash the people's feet and get all of that filth off their feet. Jesus, who was their rabbi, their teacher, their master, he got on his knees in front of them and he washed their feet to demonstrate that if the master washes the feet of the servant, then how much more should the servant wash others' feet? Listen, God has called us to serve people, serve each other. That's why Philippians 2:4 says, get beyond yourselves and protecting your own interest. Be sincere and secure your neighbor's interest first. The Bible says, get over yourself. Stop thinking about you and what you want and what you need. Start thinking about other people first. This makes you operate with the mind and the heart of Christ, putting others first. I know there's a lot of great memes and good motivational speakers that will tell you the exact opposite. You got to get out there. Don't be a doormat to anyone. Don't let anybody walk on your dreams. You got to find your happiness, no matter what it costs. Give up everything so that you can have your needs met. Can I tell you that is the message of the world? And it resonates in our minds and our hearts. We believe it wholeheartedly because it sounds super good. Nobody's going to look out for you except for you. You've got to fight for your own happiness. And can I tell you that that is not the message of the cross? It's not the message of Christ. It's not the message that we follow as followers of Christ. The message we follow is put the needs of others first, and then God will give us the desires of our heart. The Bible says that when we seek God first, then all of these things get added back to us. And he was talking about meeting our needs. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Please God, and there's nothing that pleases God more than when we walk in the footsteps of Christ. Follow the path that Christ set for us. If you want to know what's next for you, it's becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And when you get closer and closer to him, when you close the gap on that path and you start watching the heart of Jesus in operation and you start acting as the hands and the heart of Christ, I got to tell you something. Your world will change and the people around you will change and you will transform your world. You will experience God's highest and best next for you. And I'm going to pray that over you right now. Father, I'm so thankful for every listener, for every watcher, for every person attending on our online campus as they sit in their homes or in their cars or at lunch right now, as they're on their break and they're watching this service, that they want what's next for them. They wouldn't even be wasting time being in a moment like this unless they wanted to know more about how to get to what's next for them in their life. They can really step up out of the boat, step up out of the storm, and walk through all of the circumstances that surround us right now into the next storm and the storm after that, and not be intimidated or fearful or anxious about any of it because they are on the path that you've put before them. They don't fear the cross because they know that whatever they give up, God, you will add back to them multiple times over the favor and blessing that comes from trusting you with our lives. And so we do all of this believing for your best for our lives because you have destined us for your best. And we thank you now for it in advance, giving you praise in Jesus' name. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you for being here today. And don't forget, tune in next week. Actually, invite a friend. This is a topic that every person needs to hear, believer, unbeliever alike, but especially those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus. It's a super, super, super important topic, and I'm looking forward to seeing you back here next week. God bless you.